This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness energy, block bad. Mm-hmm. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel.
Oh, my brain has got me under pressure.
All right, Mike, we're not messing around anymore. We're bringing back the whole show pressure cooker because the games just mean more if we're talking about them here on the program, Mike. Okay, so the first one, and Hooligans, feel free. Every day at 105, we're going to be doing the whole show pressure cooker. I want to hear from you. Who's in the pressure cooker on any given night? Now, I'm still waiting to see if this guy's going to play, Mike, but Cam Johnson for the Nuggets. There's a lot of moving parts here. I know Eastside Chris wants to throw in David Adelman, and we'll get to that in a moment. Cam's got to be better. He's got to be better, Mike. And after this, we'll play back. I thought his press conference yesterday was rough. I feel for the man. I feel for the guy. I'm a fan of Cam's, man. And honestly, to win a championship, you got to have everybody doing their part. And if they're not scoring, then find other ways to impact the game. That was always kind of a knock on MPJ, was when he wasn't impacting the game with his scoring. Can he get 8 rebounds? Can he play exceptional defense? Cam's not really blowing it up in any of those particular areas. Now, he's still listed as questionable. He was pretty doubtful that he would play tonight. It's against the Jazz, though. Denver needs to win this thing. They need to blow out the Jazz. The Jazz are tanking, Michael. There's no excuse. You have to beat them. And I need to start seeing Cam, whether it's tonight or whenever he comes back. He's got to start playing not like MPJ. He's got to start playing like Cam Johnson at his best. And Lord knows we haven't really seen that lately. Michael, you have a pressure cooker participant you'd like to throw in?
Yeah, I'd like to throw in Nate Dogg.
Okay.
I don't know if he's hurt or not. There is some speculation out there. But in 2026, Nate Dogg has only 6 goals. He has 21 assists, but only 6 goals, and the Avalanche have a losing record. If you're big, once-in-a-generation talent, and you have 2 of those, if one of them is not performing well, you got to figure out why, and you got to, you know, you got to make it happen.
Well, and again, they haven't played a ton of games in 2026 because they were off for like 3 weeks for the Olympic break, but they're certainly... There's certainly the question of, too, like, in that Olympic break, did losing like that in that way, is that... Now, I know everybody's just throwing it out. No, it's Nathan MacKinnon. If anybody can recover from that. He missed a wide-open shot, Mike.
Which
he gave up the defensive play at the end to ultimately lead to Team USA scoring in overtime, 3-on-3. Dude, I would imagine Nathan MacKinnon has not been sleeping well the last couple of nights.
Though, even after that... Yeah, before that
he wasn't scoring.
The Avalanche have a losing record.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So you're putting the pressure on Nathan
MacKinnon. He's got to perform better. And if he's hurt, he's got to heal up.
Look at you. You're going for big game. Michael Kirkpatrick, the big game killer. He's putting Nathan MacKinnon in the whole show pressure cooker.
And since he listens to me, since he listens to KFK, he's going to hear this.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He's going to score 27 goals in the next 4 games.
Oh, yeah. He'll hear this, and he will rise to the challenge. He will rise to the occasion.
He will be the new great one.
They're going up against the Kings team tonight that just fired their head coach. So they should blow up. They should blow this team out. They should win big.
A royal butt
whooping. On the Avalanche side, trade deadline's coming up in a couple of days. Chris McFarland, probably in a little bit of the pressure cooker to see if... Because you remember how good they were at acquiring talent throughout the course of the last season, they like flipped close to 50% of the roster. And for them to do what they ended up doing last year, it was all the moves were for the better. Certainly this has been a little bit, this whole stretch has been a lot more quiet because they made so many of those moves throughout the course of the season. But yeah, I would be curious to see, you know, throw Chris McFarland in the pressure cooker because you're trying to make a move that will give you an instant push to you probably already are the favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year, but make maybe one more move. I mean, Tanner and I were talking during the break that Nazem Kadri could potentially come back. And I asked him for a connection of nuggets, like, is this going to be like a Bruce Brown situation? Like, is Kadri was really good when he left the Avs. Is he the same kind of player, same caliber of player coming back? Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Adelman and the Nuggets are in my pressure cooker tonight and the rest of the season. Here's a weird question. If the Nuggets underachieve, is David Adelman a one-and-done coach? Why? You're saying no. Why? Don't you think there's extra pressure that goes with, speaking of the pressure cooker, you have Joker. And when I say under, what do you think underachieving is for the Nuggets this year?
Lose in the first round.
If they lose in the first round, do you give him a pass because of all the injuries?
I give him a pass. Not enough people take into account injuries. I've said it. I said
other
it under the Broncos
it,
coaching debacles the last few years, because the Broncos had so many injured players. Like 5 out of 8 years, the Broncos were one of the most hurt franchises. And thanks to the Walmarts, who have, you know, helped fix that by getting new facilities and new fields so that people don't tear their legs up as much. But it's, you blame the coach for the losses, but if you have a quarter of, you know, your
yeah,
team
but do
out,
you look at it and say
out, that's
do
tough.
You look at it and say how were you winning when everybody was down, and then once everybody got back in, why? I think the pressure will ramp up for Adelman when you get Gordon back and you get Watson back, and you hopefully, fingers crossed, have a full-ish roster from here to the playoffs, which. Don't they begin next month? April, mid-April, we get into the playoffs. I mean, we are not that far away from getting to see what this thing really is all about.
Are they going to get their full roster back right before the playoffs,
I think,
or will they have a couple
weeks
to gel?
I think Aaron Gordon's going to be back this week, and I think Peyton Watson's going to follow maybe within 2 or 3 games from everything I'm reading. Now, I mean, unless there's a setback, there could be a setback, but you'd like to have...
There would have to be an epic meltdown for me to say, or a locker room revolt for me to say this guy's gone.
Yeah, but you have... But the difference is, Mike, you have a generational player on your team. Every year you don't win a title, or every year you don't even... If you don't pose a real threat to win a title, I'm just asking it. Because I think Adelman started off, you know, he was thrown into the fire last year, all positive. He didn't, all he had to do was not completely let a bottom fall out. And that's, they won 3 regular season games to avoid a play-in. They won a first round. They took the eventual NBA champions to 7 in the second round. He was playing with house money. Then he loses everybody. And they're still maintaining that third or fourth spot in the Western Conference standings. Now that Joker's back and you're starting to get more and more guys back, I think the pressure kind of changes, and it's not all, I mean, it's the honeymoon, would you say this? Honeymoon phase is over now for David Adelman. Honeymoon phase lasted quite a while, and I think there are a lot of people giving him grace early on in the season, especially when people went down, and then they were winning games. Now, there's no clutch. Minutes are scattered. I'm still confused as to how guys are playing, when they're playing. But bottom line is, you have to have You have to have guys performing and guys contributing if they're going to be out on the floor. And Cam Johnson, Mike, I just sent this to you. Vic Lombardi shared this on his socials earlier. This was Cam at the end, well, basically the end of the weekend. I think this was right after the Minnesota game because he had a rough game against OKC and a really rough game against the Timberwolves. Here's Cam Johnson.
It's a lot of things, man. There's a lot of things. One is understanding that you've been through it before. Understanding that, you know, every time that you felt down that, you know, can't really, don't really feel like you're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Just feel like you just keep letting yourself down, letting your teammates down, that every time that's happened, you know, I've been able to turn it around, you know, get back on track some way, somehow. Hasn't knocked me out of the game completely yet. You know, hasn't forced me to hang it up, hasn't forced me to, you know, miss every shot for the rest of my career. So I just got to kind of continue on with that trust and continue to work and forget about it. Knowing that it's, you know, such a severe lack of contribution really shows up in the end. Yeah.
So there's Cam Johnson, kind of clipped there. One of those was the last bit you heard was immediately after the game, and then the second clip there was as he's getting ready to head out. He clearly sounds broken up, man. I mean, he sounded like he was close to getting emotional. And, you know, you love that from these players. They do give a damn. They do care. And when he says serious lack of contribution, this is what we're talking about. Like, I'm not sitting here wanting to be a guy that likes to kick guys when they're down. But if you want to ask me point blank, what is one of the reasons we're seeing some struggles with the Nuggets right now? Well, one of them is clutch. Not creative enough. Joker and Jamal cannot be tasked with, I mean, you can give me the best player, best two players on any team in the NBA. You still have to have other guys hit shots, hit outside shots when everyone knows that top of the three-point line and draw a straight line down to the rim is where Joker and Jamal are going to operate and dominate. When you know that's coming, somebody is open. Somebody has to make shots, and that's not always Cam Johnson. But Cam, in that OKC game, had plenty of opportunities to give Denver a big lead, a bigger lead, or to just give them a lead, and he missed those opportunities and was completely a no-show offensively for Denver. And you look at those games and you say, all right, what are the other things that he's doing? Is he shut down, playing lockdown defense? Is he throwing around? Is he getting 10 boards? Like, I look at Minnesota, Rudy Gobert had just like 4 or 5 points, something, 7 points maybe, but he also had 15 rebounds. And that's Rudy Gobert at that position. Obviously, he's going to get those at his size and his prowess, the way he plays, he's going to get those. But you have to contribute in other areas, and you're just not seeing it with Cam Johnson. Julian Strother, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, him only having 2 points. You got to start somebody, and you like Hardaway coming off the bench. If you do start Peyton Watson over a healthy Cameron Johnson when this lineup becomes whole, what does that do to Cam? And we've talked about, well, you could try to move his contract in the offseason so you can make room for Peyton Watson. These kind of games, those kind of clips are not screaming endorsements that, oh yeah, he's worth that kind of money. And that's unfortunate. And that's the way it is. It's the truth of it. He has to be better. This is the NBA we're talking about. He has to be better. That was a risk. Yes, you bolstered up your bench, and we haven't really got to see the bench unit as a whole unit because the starting unit's not a whole starting unit. But Cameron Johnson was still at risk of, we're willing to give up 20 points a night to help with the bench, and we believe that Cameron Johnson, I believed that Cameron Johnson was not that big of a downgrade. And boy, people that were on my side of the fence on that are looking a bit silly here. So whether it is tonight, which again, he didn't seem too optimistic about whether he would play. The latest injury report on Cam is that he's listed as day-to-day, but that he's not optimistic about his chance of playing Monday in Utah, according to Vinny Bendetto of the Denver Gazette. So we'll keep our eyes on that. My first pressure cooker back since we took a delay is Cam Johnson, and he might not play tonight. But maybe that would be the best way for him to try to get right. He's got this ankle injury. I know that's messing with him, but now it's between the ears. Adelman has to press the right buttons here. Because if and when you're whole and you bench Cam Johnson, how does he respond? Will he respond positively coming off the bench and be a spark plug for this unit? Or will he be somebody that kind of more or less puts his head down and limps out of the season? Eastside Chris, Adelman was looking like coach of the year while Joker was out. Dismal sense. Ouch, that young man needs to meet up with a sports psychologist. Dude, he sounded really bad. He sounded really upset. And hopefully this is where, again, a great head coach can help guys like that find their way, find their shot, find their way on a team.
He sounded like a kicker who's missed 4 field goals in a row.
Eastside Chris says, Brady, note about combines. Your hopeful tight end is looking good. May not make it to the Broncos draft. Can we move up and how? Yeah, the combine can always be a tricky beast because it can make players look better than they are. It can make players that are actually really good when they have pads on and they're playing real competition suddenly look human. It all just depends on what you're watching for. I don't know if he'll be there, but I really would like him to be there.
Yeah, anyone remember John Ross III?
Yeah, I do remember John Ross III.
Yeah, he broke the 4.240, whatever that record is, the 40-yard dash record, and didn't do much in his career.
Everyone keeps telling me that the Broncos have to try to find a way to get Georgia's C.J. Allen or Jacob Rodriguez, the linebacker from Georgia, the linebacker from Texas Tech, that's who you should go with at pick number 30. Jacob Rodriguez overall draft rank is 50, I think, and you can't always just look at what the draft for. You have to look at your... That's a position of somewhat need for Denver. Kenyon Sadiq, tight end for Oregon, that's who I would like. And he did have conversations with the Broncos. He did play a year with Bo Nix. Sign me up. How do we get him? Where do you think Kenyon Sadiq goes? 24? Most mock drafts I see, anywhere from 24 to 27. How do you move up? I mean, the Broncos are picked number 30. Well, if someone comes after Jaquan McMillan, you get an extra second round pick. You swap first, and then you have your... Could give up. Do the Broncos... They don't have a current second round pick, right? Didn't you tell me that last week?
Let me double check.
Yeah, double check, Mike. I do think that... Yeah, I think that would be the only way. Obviously, you're swapping firsts, and then do you give up an eventual second-round pick to can that help justify moving up 4 spots? I don't know. Yeah,
all right,
Mike.
I have something more official. It's from Broncos Wire, so I count it as more official. They have a second, a first, a second, a third, a fourth from the Saints due to the Devon Vele trade, another fourth, a fifth, and 3 sevenths.
Okay, so you already have a second-round pick. If somebody comes calling for Jaquan McMillan and you don't want to match that, then you have 2 second-round picks. Is swapping first with the team at 27 or 26 plus giving them 2 second-round picks, is that too rich? Is that not enough? If that's a guy you really want, which Sean Payton has said running back and linebacker are the 2 key positions, so I don't know if Denver even makes that move. But it could be Sean playing chess while everyone's playing checkers, right? Not talking about the real position that he wants. Which very well could be. Mark this down. March 2nd, 1:24. If the Broncos end up getting that stud tight end out of Oregon, then I will remember Sean saying that their key positions of need are inside linebacker and running back.
And you'll probably rant about it for an entire segment.
Probably an entire year.
unless he's really, really good.
Is that rich enough? Like, does that make sense to do that? A first round swap with pick number 27, and you give them 2 seconds to move up four spots. Is that too crazy?
It can't be two picks this year. Like, you have to say, I'll give you my first this year.
You're just swapping.
And then two the next year.
2 second rounders next year?
Yeah, a second rounder next year and my second rounder the year after that.
Or if you have 2 second rounders this year, you give up one of them and then you give up a future second rounder. But they don't have 2 second rounders right now. That would only happen if a team calls and makes Jaquan McMillan an offer and the Broncos don't want to match it. Then they would get him, but they'd have to give you a second round pick.
I don't like that.
You don't like taking a second round pick for McMillan, or you don't
I don't want to see McMillan go.
Well, he might. If a team really wants a good cornerback that they think they can turn into one of their shutdown corners, they'd be willing to overpay a little bit and probably overpay by drafting or by trading a second round pick. All right, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Brady, why don't you have UNC in the pressure cooker tonight? Mike, it's interesting. It's interesting, but I have the mindset right now that I want the Bears to win, and I want Coach Smiley to get win number 20. If they win this game tonight, they'll be the only team in the Big Sky Conference with 20 wins, which is pretty cool. But do I sit here right now and tell you that the Bears being sixth or fifth, is that going to matter? Because they could beat Portland State, they could beat Montana State, even though they lost both of those. They could beat Eastern Washington, they split. They could beat Montana, I think, that we'll find out tonight. I don't know that it matters, because I think that it's like a 50-50 shot for all these teams for the Bears. Just as long as they avoided that bottom four spot. That's how widespread I think this is, and how I don't know that the number one seed makes a huge difference. Because I could see Portland State getting knocked off in the first round, or in their first round. Could see it happen. 27 minutes after the hour. Yeah, we'll get into that one too. He said, Chris, so who else would want a tight end? It's drafting ahead of us. That's the key. We'll take a look at that in the next couple of days. Who are those teams that are in danger? Because you're not going to draft him in a top 10. Probably not top 15. Who are the teams drafting from 15 to 25? 15 to 30, I guess. Who are those 15 teams, and what are their needs at the tight end position? 27 after the hour. Mike, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show, and we're powered by the one and only Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Kick it! 32 minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Hall Show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Are you kind of like me with that, with UNC's game tonight, Mike, where given how the season is gone, and it's a jumbled mess at the top, because you have Portland State, who's been number one for a long time. They might not finish that way. Montana State was the one team at the top that swept the Bears. We'll find out tonight if Montana is going to sweep the Bears, because they beat them the first time around. You know, it just doesn't seem to matter. Avoiding, if you can't be number one and it's not an obvious, you don't want to play them in that first round. You want to avoid them in that first round. I don't think there's anybody like that for the Bears. I don't think there's one team where you say, man, you want to avoid them. You could make the case it's Montana State because they swept the Bears, but I think the fact that they got out of the basement and it is so spread out across the top. I mean, the Bears are, if they win tonight, they're going to end up missing the top seed by 2.5 games, maybe, depending on what happens between Portland State and Weber State. It just, don't you just get this feeling that it's like, it's going to be 50-50 once we actually start this tournament up? It'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really, really fun tournament. Could this be the year that the UNC Bears get it done? They finally legitimately go dancing. Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. Maybe the fact that they didn't stay at the top. I mean, they were never in the top. They started the conference schedule 1-7. It looked like they were destined to finish at the bottom. But they've only lost in the midst of coming out of that 1-7 spot. They only lost one game, and that was to Eastern Washington, which I thought the second half was just rough, and they had some bad turnovers. Brock Wisney was cooking in the first half, and then he went silent in the second. Kind of the opposite game for him against Idaho the other night. Kind of quiet in the first and dominant in the second half. But for them to end up with a 9-8, maybe 9-9 conference record, starting 1-7, you have to have a feeling of, we feel like we can beat anybody at this point. I mean, they split with Eastern Washington. Montana State's the one team that has their number. They swept them. And then we'll find out about Montana tonight. That game is at 6 o'clock on ESPN+. So I'm really looking forward to that. The Bears have been a fun team to watch throughout the course of the season. And they have some really good players that have made some minor history this year. Quinn Danker with his assist numbers. Brock Wisney's had some monster nights, too. Zach Block is a phenomenal player. They got young guys that are coming up that you should watch out for. Ring Neary, who didn't have any points against Idaho, but he did have 8 boards. Played some pretty good defense in that game. There's guys to look out for. Hunter Caldwell next year. Egan Shields next year. Caldwell still, but Egan Shields. Arik Muyen, Vincent Delano. They got a young cast that could be good next year, but I don't know if anyone's going to pick them to win the Big Sky tournament next season, Mike, like a lot of people felt they could this year. So there's pressure on the Bears. I just don't know if it's like, oh, you're on the wrong side of the bracket. I don't think it matters. I think it just... It comes down to this every year, but yeah, it's just who can win three games in a row. And I think the Bears could do that. How special would that be for Coach Smiley, who's put together winning record after winning record with you? I think he only had one losing record, Mike. And I mean that's the difference. It's the good and the bad, right? That you win a game. You win the Big Sky Championship and go dancing, then yeah, his name suddenly becomes a very attractive name for a lot of head coaching vacancies.
Yeah, it's just the big knock on him is he's been knocked out in the first round too many times. He's gone to that championship before and
he's gone twice.
Been blown out.
Well, last year was like a blowout and then they came back and it was kind of a blow and then they came back and made it interesting. But the other time he was on it. And it was rough.
Yeah, it got really rough. One of his players, it got physical towards the end. One of the players got a little heated with Montana State's players.
The Bears, his first year, they were 11-11, and that was the COVID year. His second year, they were 22-16. They made it to the CBI semifinals. In 22-23, they were 12-20. That was his worst year. In 23-24, they were 19-14, made it to the CBI first round. Last year, they were 25-10. Very good basketball team. Made it to their Big Sky Conference Championship game. They made it that year, and I think they also made it. Was it the second year? Was it 21-22 they also made it? So they made it that year, too. And then this year, they're one win away from getting to win number 20. again. And Smiley, that would be the third time in his career of getting to 20 wins. He's 107-81 overall at UNC.
I have a pressure cooker.
Okay, the pressure cooker segment's over.
I know, but yeah. I have one.
Okay.
Steve Smiley.
Tonight?
No, not tonight.
Well, it's supposed to just be for tonight.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll put him in the thing tonight anyway. Got to win tonight.
Cooker.
Don't want to go into
cooker.
It cold.
TM.
You have only lost one since you went on that win streak. You've lost one in February. Keep the win streak going.
Keep that momentum going into the Big Sky Conference tournament?
Yeah. You lost one in February. That was late February. So far, you're on a roll. Well, a one-game roll. Keep it going.
I'm going to go with, if I were to pick a bear, I'm going to say Zach Block.
He needs to get more blocks.
Well, he's a hell of a defensive player. That's never a question. But he was kind of the guy getting you from anywhere from 9 to 15 points. And in the last few games, he had 3 against Idaho, he had 5 against Eastern Washington, 7 against Northern Arizona, 9 against Portland State, 3 against Idaho State, 17 against Sac State in their blowout win, 95-79. You know, I know Quinn Danker's going to do his thing. Brock's going to do his thing. Zach always defensively is going to do his thing. But, man, if he's contributing, if that guy's getting you 12 to 15 points tonight, they're winning that game. And then you're rooting for other teams to lose so you can jump up one more spot if it really matters.
And Wisney can't just flirt with the next decade. He has to go over the 40 mark,
50,
over the 30 mark.
50 tonight.
Yeah, if he doesn't do it, he's fired.
You going to 50? We got a busy show tomorrow, Mike. Brock Wisney will be on at 11:30 to start it. Then we're going to have Chris, don't call me Christopher Dempsey from Altitude TV, talk some nuggets with us. And then Rams fans, former quarterbacks coach and one-time kind of offensive play caller and since let go, Matt Mummy will be joining us on the program in the 1 o'clock hour. We've kept communications rolling, and this isn't going to be a bash CSU thing. This is going to be a when did you know it was going wrong kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm curious to catch up with Matt Mummy. He'll be in studio tomorrow, so this will be a very fun conversation. So tomorrow's jam-packed. Today was just some alone time between us, Michael. Tomorrow, I have to put you away, and we bring in a lot of different guests. Sometimes it happens like that.
Should I play a lot of rap for Matt Mummy?
Why?
Rap.
Why?
Because Mummy's a rapt. I know it's spelled differently.
41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Aaron says, I didn't even have to think about that rap comment to know that's where it was going. Yeah, you are very predictable, Michael. I knew where you were going with that. I was trying to give you a second chance to think better of it and just say never mind or something, but you didn't. You doubled down. You went all in, and we're all left not as smart as we were moments ago.
Should I keep my sense of humor under wraps tomorrow?
Yeah, you should. You should try that. But no, I look forward to it. This isn't going to be a, hey, they did you wrong or anything like that. But I would like to ask him questions, you know, about the when did he think he was going to be calling plays for CSU? Was it really in the offseason of last year before that final season with Jay Norvell? And what was that process like? So Matt's been good to me, man. I liked the dude from the beginning. Obviously has a very great and rich football background, great football family, great football history, the son of Air Raid. I mean, all those things. He's a great guy. I'm rooting for him. I hope he's not done with football, but I'll look forward to catching up with Matt Mummy coming up tomorrow. That'll be a good one. Chris Dempsey will join us. We'll talk some nuggets with him, get his thoughts on where to go. Should be a win tonight, right? They should beat the Utah Jazz. If they can't beat the Utah Jazz as they're tanking, then we have bigger issues We have some pretty serious issues. 47 minutes after the hour. Michael, what did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this second day of March? We learned that the Nuggets are in a really... really strange spot, although help might be coming, and I am reserving my full-on judgment of this team until I see this team whole, until I see the actual plan unfold. I hope that day comes. We also learned Cam Johnson's got to be better. We also learned that maybe it doesn't matter who the Bears play in the first round of the Big Sky Conference Tournament, just the fact that they don't have to play four games to win it all. Just gotta play three, potentially. Also, George Payton. Give the man his flowers. Should have been fired, probably. Made some of the worst moves, if not the worst moves, in Broncos history. Yet finds a way to make everything work with Sean Payton, and they were one game away. One weird turnover away, maybe. One decision away. One injured quarterback away. Depending on who you ask, from going to the Super Bowl. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I learned that we both have faith in Titans, even though I think we already knew that. It's been very solidified. I learned that Jaquan McMillan is... they're putting faith in him,
faith,
and they're going to have
protection
to pay him a lot more next year. I also learned that tomorrow... you're going to have on some pretty interesting guests, including Matt Mummy.
Yeah. Very good, Mike. Way to recap all of that.
I just wanted to let everybody know.
It's going to be a good show.
You know, someone was unsure whether they were going to listen. You've got Matt Mummy.
Well, people should know they're going to listen all the time. I mean, the guests are nice. They're like the cherry on top. But the show is still a prime cake with... you know, Brussels sprouts sometimes on the side, which would be you. For some reason, we're eating Brussels sprouts with cake. That's how
I don't even know what Brussels sprouts are.
Exactly. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it. Big day. Big guest day here on the whole show coming up on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.